Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 209 of CJ Evolution. Pat Fitzgibbons here, host and creator of this great show. Thanks to you, the listener and supporter, we continue to grow. Special thanks to all those first responders out there, brave men and women who work in the criminal justice field, whether you're probation, parole, corrections, whatever you're doing, thank you for what you're doing. Keep up the fantastic work. You have much support. I am so excited. I've talked about my partnership with Four Sigmatic in the past. I'm going to continue to talk about them because I love their product. If you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Four Sigmatic, and I think most of us love coffee out there. And if you've never tried mushroom coffee, folks, you have to try it. It doesn't taste like mushrooms. It tastes amazing, and it's better for you than regular coffee. And you will get 15% off of all your purchases by using the promo code CJEVO. You know, folks, we talk so much about having a good sense of humor, especially in the field of law enforcement. You have to have a good sense of humor. You know, we like to cut up with our partners, have fun with the people we work with, not to be indifferent to the bad things we see in the criminal justice field and law enforcement, but you have to have a good sense of humor. You have to be able to release those bad things you see sometimes. My next guest is an amazing guy. He not only is a very funny individual, but he does so much for the cause, for the brave men and women who serve in law enforcement. I hope you enjoy this great interview with the one, the only, Mike the Cop. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have Mike the Cop on the show. You've seen him on YouTube, all over social media. He is here right now. Hello, Mike. You there, sir?
I'm here. I'm shirtless with my dad bod right now. Ready. I'm ready.
Well, thanks for being on the show, man. I know you're very, very busy. I did a little bit of an intro right there and didn't give you justice. Can you fill in the gaps? Tell us a little bit more about yourself, sir.
Man, I'm just some normal moron, really, to be honest with you. I'm Mike. I'm a cop, hence the very creative name. And I've actually had a few Mikes get pretty pissed that are cops that I stole that name from.
Are you serious?
A true story. Yeah, that's a true story.
Well, it's not like they you know, copyrighted it or anything. I mean, but
yeah, I told the guy, like, there's one guy, he does like social media stuff. Like, he doesn't even really, he says he goes by Mike the Cop, but he was like, I was like, man, more power to you. Call yourself whatever you want. You can use my logo if you want. I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me, man.
Well, and that was one of the questions I had, and you answered it. And before we came on, I was asking the same thing because some people out there, I know I have, you know, cops that I work with saying, is that a real cop? And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he is because he wouldn't know all this stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, you can Google it, maybe research it, but you know things that, you know, you have that knowledge that is only really specific to the people who wear the uniform.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm the real deal.
Now, how did you get started? I mean, what was the catalyst? I mean, you're obviously a very funny guy, and I love what you're doing with, you're bringing a human side to the badge. So was there a catalyst, Mike? I mean, how did you get started?
Well, I started writing, actually, on a blog back in, like, 2014 on a site that doesn't even exist anymore, just as an outlet, a creative outlet. And I wanted to do something even back then that was just sort of like about, you know, cop life. And that was what the website was coplife.net or something like that. So that could be porn now for all I know.
Don't go to that. We're not saying go to that site.
I don't advocate whatever's there. I used to write there and, you know, I wrote articles that ranged from the funny to the serious. And I had encountered a lady named Elizabeth.
There you go.
Who wrote an article called Dear Officer. It was a very well-received article. So we began to exchange one another's writings and share one another's writings. And we were watching the events in Ferguson unfold and how social media was where a big battle needs to be fought for accurate perception of law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And so that's when she had started a Facebook page in its infancy, humanizing the badge. And so I came alongside her and we began to work on that really directionless other than the name. We wanted to show that cops are people and needed to be valued as such and that as people cops need to treat each other that way as well, and treat their communities that way. So we began that, and it grew. And as we began to see humanizing the badge take off, and in that process, I saw a guy named Officer Daniels making funny videos on Vine, and we recognized video as a powerful medium, and I said, well, maybe I'll try to make some videos. And so I looked at my social media policy at my department, approached my admin, said I'd like to try some things. They gave me the go-ahead, and I started making videos, and people seemed to like it, so yeah. I kept doing it.
Well, and you're very successful at it and very funny. And we talked a little bit about off the air before we started about, you mean, did you, I know you had some backlash with some current city people that didn't want you doing that, but what about internally? Where cops are brutal, dude, you know that.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine everybody's like, cool, man, Mike's doing some cool shit. I mean, they probably gave you a pretty rough time, at least some of them, right?
I think all in good fun, man.
Yeah.
The thing about me is what you see on video is me. I'm not really an actor or anything like that. Like, the videos are all inspired by real events, and I just kind of like speak my mind. So yep. They had already known me for years, and it just was me on video now, mm-hmm. you know, and they've all been super supportive. Of course, there's always jokes or funny pictures that'll show up on your locker or whatever else, but that's policing. It's yep. It's good. But yeah, I've seen a lot of support in that. And I think it all stems from the fact that I didn't start out in this for it to be about me. And hopefully I really never want to get to that place where it's like, it's just about what I want to do or getting attention or something like that. I always try to partner with whether it's a t-shirt that I'm selling or whatever it is that I'm doing. I try to connect with businesses and partners that are always pouring back into the law enforcement community. At the end of the day, that's my main goal, is to see the law enforcement community strengthened and the perception of law enforcement to be more accurate.
Mm-hmm. And did you always have a sense of humor from early, you know, since you were young guy, or did you always have that gift, or
it's more sarcasm than it is legitimate.
Yeah, but it's funny.
Humor.
I mean, it's funny. It is funny. I mean, you know as well as I do, people, or Mike, there's people out there that think they're funny and they're not, and there's people like you who are funny. Know you're funny. I mean, did you always have that gift?
I guess. I like I said, man, I just, what you see on video is just me being on video. So you're going to get the same or more intense off video as you would watching me, because it's just, I try to be just who I am.
Yeah. You mentioned some of the, you know, I mean, you mentioned Ferguson and some of the tough times law enforcement's been through. And what do you think some of the biggest biggest challenges, you know, and it could be a ton of them, but what do you think some of the biggest challenges facing law enforcement are today?
The number one challenge is perception, mm-hmm. right? So I think that has sort of two things that, I mean, because we can't control what people think or what people do. We can only control ourselves. So mm-hmm. This is where I sort of like, look on our side and say, what can we do? And I think it starts with that perception, and how do we battle that in social media? And mm-hmm. I think that both officers need to be able to engage their communities on social media that are willing and able, and police administrations need to be able to get a clue and loosen the reins a little bit, to give a little bit more freedom to use social media, and departments need to understand how to better use social media to communicate with people that they're there to serve. So it's a huge, huge thing. Perception is the problem, because, you know, perception is not reality, but perception is perception, and it's what people have in their community. And so if there's gaps to be bridged, then many of them can be done simply by connecting with people where they're at, mm-hmm. instead of expecting them to adjust their entire culture around an outdated model of communicating with people, which is what most police departments are stuck on.
And what do you think some of the fear is? We talked a little bit about it, but what do you think some of the fear is with social media? I mean, maybe it's a generation thing. I mean, I don't know. Social media is a great tool. It's not the end-all be-all. I get that. But why do you think some administrations are so fearful of social media? They don't want to, you know, divulge a lot of things, or I mean, what?
Well, I think there is a little bit of generational issue there in terms of they're just ignorant, and I say that in the kindest way possible. They just don't know anything about it, so it's the fear of the unknown. Like, well, they'd have to learn something, and we're talking about cops here, so we're not talking about people who are probably really motivated to learn new things. So. I think that's certainly an aspect of it, is just, old dogs, man, want to keep doing it the old way, and things change a lot faster, you know, to go from 1955 to 1965, is about what it takes to go from 2018 to 2019, right? Mm-hmm. And things move so much faster when it comes to the way information is passed now, that we develop differently and faster as a culture. And so it's a whole different world, and they just don't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. And second is they're afraid, and I think, and in some ways I understand it, they're afraid of backlash, right? They're afraid of lawsuits. They're afraid of having to constantly defend something that one of their officers would say or one of their officers would do, and they view the liability as too high, and this is just another part of administrations and departments and officers need to be educated on how the different social media platforms work, how they can be used effectively, and, you know, with minimal liability. So mm-hmm. I think that they need to be educated on that. So mm-hmm. I think it's a mix of ignorance and a lack of confidence on how to go forward.
Interesting. Now, I mean, Mike, I don't know, you know, I know you're Midwest and you're out there. I mean, is your agency and agencies out there having a hard time getting good candidates for law enforcement? Are you finding that a struggle like most departments are? Or?
Yeah, because people are dumb. We're raising a generations of idiots, man. Yeah. Like, I was an FTO for years, and I'll tell you what, I've been working since I was 12. I'm 42 years old.
Yeah.
And one of the last recruits that I had was like 24, and he went to college, paid for by mom and dad, didn't work, paid for by mom and dad, and got out of the academy and got a job making pizzas and then became a cop. So imagine that guy trying to go to a domestic and being like, would you like green peppers on that? Like, that's all he knows how to ask. He's a moron. And it's like so far behind. So yeah, the reason we're in a cultural time where we, police departments have to either contribute to working to make culture great again. Is that a thing? Like we have an opportunity to be the example, right? And we need that. So yeah, it's hard to find good candidates because we're raising a generation of morons.
Well, and I think some of it too is just fear. I mean, you've seen some of the kind of, you know, after effects of, like you said, Ferguson and some other high profile cases.
Oh, the smart people are selling real estate.
Yeah,
man.
People are just like, you know what?
They're going to the fire academy.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to be on CNN or whatever. So any other challenges do you think out there? I mean, you know, with recruitment, we talked about that, you know, some of the perception. What's one other thing you can think of with challenges, law enforcement?
Leadership. We need strong leadership, man. We need leaders that back the guys on the road, and we need leadership that speaks out and that isn't afraid of political pressure. And I think we so desperately need that in policing that's another huge challenge. Guys are discouraged out there, and that's mm-hmm. one of the greatest compliments I can get when I go out and meet people and travel around and speak and all that stuff. Is, hey, you know, we were having a rough night as a shift, and we watched some of your videos, and it really lightened the mood, or it gave us, you know, encouraged us, or whatever else. That's pretty much the highest compliment I can get, and I just think that the troops need a lot of encouragement because we're not getting it from leadership in a lot of ways, and so that's a huge challenge, I think, for us as cops, and I think that bleeds out then into the community, because when you have a group of unmotivated police officers because they're dealing with all sorts of nonsensical political pressure and policies that are being pushed down on them, it doesn't motivate them to go out there and do things in the community. It doesn't motivate them to be better at being cops. It pushes us for the status quo and to stay out of the limelight, stay out of trouble, don't take risks in your community because then you're going to get in trouble and it's going to cause nothing but grief. And so we need bold leaders that that really empower our officers to go out and do great things. Mm-hmm. And I think we would see some amazing differences.
Yeah. And you're old like me. You're in your 40s like me. So I think my next thing is, you know, I think the challenge with millennial officers, younger, and I'm not trying to pick on millennials, but a lot of young officers, they don't, everybody cares about money. I get that. But they want to be inspired, right? They want to be led. They want to come to work and have a good time and not do a hard job or not do a good job, but they want to be inspired, Mike, right? Don't you think that? I mean, that goes into with the leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody's like that. Yeah. I think everybody craves craves to be motivated, you know, and, you know, deep down, even if they wouldn't express it that way. Yeah, they want someone to inspire them to action, you know, to do great things. And that's what we need.
Also, I've seen some of your videos are hilarious. Now, are those just things that you think up, or are those a lot of those just based on actual experiences you have had?
They're all based in some sense of experiences that I've had. You know, I really don't like I think about things that I've experienced or seen or done and think that would be funny, you know, to make put on video. Can I, you know, sometimes there's a challenge to obviously abbreviate that or express it in a way that makes sense to the general public. And that's, I try to make my videos make sense to people who aren't cops. So, you know, there's sometimes a challenge in that, but yeah.
Yeah, I think you do a good job about that. Can you talk a little bit about humanizing the badge?
Yeah, well, that's a complete nonprofit at this point, a 501c3 nonprofit. And we have, in addition to all of the creators that are on our team that make content for social media, the real work happens, you know, from the fundraising dollars we put to work in two forms. The first is what we call Project Human, and those are usually quarterly projects where we go into a city where normally we've been requested to come, and we partner with police departments and local community service organizations. We get in the mix, we record it, we promote it, and we hopefully set the stage for an ongoing relationship for them. The money we raise gets poured into their efforts on the ground, and we leave them and hope that the media content that we can create from that will inspire others and will keep that relationship going on the ground when we're long gone, because we obviously can't, you know, be there everywhere all the time. So that's the first thing we do is our community service projects. And that's going to lead hopefully to mentorship programs and other things in the future. And then the other aspect is what we call for backup. One of the surprising things that started happening to us early on with humanizing the badge on social media is we were getting guys reaching out saying, I was just involved in this critical incident. I don't know how to process this. Or we would get messages from police spouses saying, my husband hasn't said much in 3 days. I don't know what happened. I don't know how to get him to open up or whatever else. So we realized we had like the unique stresses that this job brings, how to handle that. Yeah. And then when you start looking at the number of police suicides, both active and retired, it's staggering, man. It's mind blowing how big of a problem this is that sort of gets pushed to the side and not talked about a lot. So we started the Call for Backup campaign as a way to go in and offer trainings at departments or in communities for first responders and their families to educate them on how to properly handle stress in a healthy ways and how to best reach out when you're struggling under those stresses so that we don't make a decision that's going to have this horrific impact on those that care about us. You know, so those are our two big things that we focus on, and that's what we're grinding away at.
And it's so important, Mike, you know this, and we've talked about this on my show a bunch of emotional wellness, and you hit on it, is we're really good at taking care of other people for the most part, but we're bad at taking care of ourselves sometimes, and that emotionally and physically. I don't know why we don't teach more of this in the academies about taking care of yourself. And, you know, I know they're jam-packed curriculums, and I get that, but if we're not taking care of ourselves, and again, I know speaking to the choir and everybody else who's listening out there, how are we supposed to take care of everybody else if we're not taking care of ourselves?
Absolutely.
You know, it's like you're on a plane. What do they tell you? The oxygen mask drop, and you got to put yours on first, right? Before you can take care of anybody else.
Yep. Absolutely.
I know you got a book out there, right? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we got a couple. One is like a more serious sort of like dedication book to fallen officers and their families called Dear Officer. That's it's more like a coffee table style book, but there it's got some of the most viewed writings that I had done online, as well as Elizabeth's writings, and we kind of combined that with some creative photography and made a coffee table book. So yeah, that's out there. And then I did another one that was just an edited compilation of hilarious cop stories called You Can't Make This Stuff Up. And people always ask, like, what's the funniest thing that's ever happened? What's the craziest? What's the scariest? So I just kind of like solicited stories, put some of my own in there and edited it down and put it like a, you know, 50 page little book in it. I'm working on part two right now.
I was going to say, you got any more books in your future? And those are on Amazon. I'll have those linked up in the show notes. What about a podcast, Mike? It seems like you would kick butt with like your own show, like your own podcast or something. And I know you're busy, but
I've got one with my buddy Dave, who's another cop, and it's called Off the Cuff.
Okay.
And so on iTunes, if you look up Off the Cuff, make sure you add Mike the Cop to it. Otherwise, you're going to end up on some bondage podcast, which I don't even know how you talk about that on a podcast, but. I'm subscribed, you know, I'm a fan now, but hey, Off the Cuff podcast, but add the Mike the Cop and you'll find it on iTunes or SoundCloud right now. And, we've got like 30 some episodes and we just drink whiskey and talk sometimes about serious stuff. But most of the time it's kind of like, we never really get around to a real topic. We just kind of like unwind about our weeks and topics in the news and have fun, man. We want it to have a feel to it to where, You just listen and you laugh along with us and have a blast and want to hear what the next update is the next week, you know? So
how do you, you know, because you got such a great attitude, and I'm sure you have bad days like everybody else, but what do you do to de-stress, Mike? I mean, because you're a cop, you've seen bad crap, we all have. So what do you do to keep motivated? Because you're such a, you know, you're very upbeat, funny guy. You have a very positive attitude, I can tell. What do you do to keep balanced or keep level and keep yourself from not getting stressed out like a lot of cops do?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, dude, so many cops, I was warned when I got into this profession about boobs and booze.
Oh, yeah, like bills, the three Bs.
And bills, yeah, like go buy some boats and ATVs and get into debt up to your eyeballs and whatever else, yeah. And I took that to heart. I think that helped. And I mean, I love boobs and booze, but I just don't put my trust in them. It comes down to I kind of alliterate it with faith, family, and fun. Mm-hmm. That's really, really those three things keep me grounded. Like we all ask the questions about, you know, like what's wrong with the world and how can we fix it? And for me, I have a lens of faith that I see the world through, and that's sort of how I process that. In fact, we did a study through Humanizing the Badge, an actual legit study that found, it was significant. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it was significant. Those that were active in a faith community, and and I'm not talking whether it's, you know, religion versus religion or who's right or who's wrong. I'm just saying, like, if you have a faith community, a church or a way that you practice faith outside of yourself, you were way less likely to experience serious symptoms of stress problems as a cop. Mm-hmm. So that has been a big help for me. Family is huge. I have the support of my family. I spent a ton of time, enjoying my family. I think that's really, really important. And then fun, man. Doing things like this, I make videos and support the law enforcement community, have a blast doing it. I do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, physical stress relief. Mm-hmm. I go put people to nap, you know, and they do the same to me, and it gets a lot of the stress out as being on the mats, and that's sort of like my chosen fitness. And those are the things that keep me going, man.
I know the thing, and those are all awesome things. Another thing that has helped me over the years is I started meditating. Like three or four years ago, and I noticed, and I was one of those guys, Mike, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm not going to do this. And I started listening to, you know, podcasts, you know, and like some of the success, you know, like Tim Ferriss and stuff like that. They're all advocates of, you know,
I've been super curious about meditation, man. Like,
dude,
what that looks like and how that works.
I was really, really skeptical of it, Mike. I'm going to tell you right now, but there's a bunch of apps out there. I mean, like Headspace and Calm, and I use Headspace, but it's only 10 minutes a day. And I'm telling you, I mean, I don't do it every day like I should, but I do it most days, and I can definitely from the period where I was about 5 years ago, I was, you know, cynical and pissed off sometimes and, you know, just highly stressed, to where I am now. I think that did play a role, you know, and it did to kind of put things in perspective, to meditate, learn breathing techniques, of course, you know, supplement working out and stuff like that. I think it's helped me. So you might want to try it, dude. It's pretty good. I think it's well worth it. I mean, there's a reason why the military and sports teams are using it.
Yeah, you know, I would. I got some app that I saw promoted to me. I don't know. Maybe Big Brother knew I was needed to meditate.
Like, send him the app,
dude. You ever have a conversation? Like, I was talking to somebody the other day about something, man. And I looked on my phone. I hit Google and I started typing something that we were talking about, and it was the freaking top search. And I was like,
"Oh my god, I've had that happen."
Holy shit, man!
I've had that happen.
Who is listening to me right now?
And you're going, yeah, exactly. I've had that happen before too, and I'm like, who the hell's listening to the speaker?
Dogs and peanut butter, dogs and peanut butter, the top search right now on my Google. What's going on,
Mike? If people want to reach out to you, my friend, where can they find you? I know you're all over YouTube and all over social media, but
pretty much at this point, any social media you're on, if you look up Mike the Cop, you should be able to find me. My website is. It should be back to normal tomorrow. Right now, it's forwarding to a company that I have some clearance merchandise on. But MikeTheCop.tv is my website, and in the next 24 to 48 hours, that should be back up as like a hub where it'll link to all of my social media and be able to contact me or request bookings for events or whatever else.
Well, Mike the Cop, I appreciate you, brother. I thank you for your service again. I really, really appreciate you doing all what you're doing for the brave men and women in blue. Keep it up, sir. Much success to you in your future. You're always welcome back on the show. We'd love to have you back again in the future sometime. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, man. If you're this cool as a cop, then your guys are lucky to have you.
Well, I appreciate it, my friend. Take care, buddy. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.